the occurrences in those towns of buildings is what we are doing is supporting traffic safety.
Yeah.
And
that's exactly what I want to
just, it's a general idea that's supposed to not work.
Allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America,
one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Okay, approval of the minutes of November 2nd.
So moved.
Any other discussion? If not, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. It's carried. Okay. Okay, Vince, landfills.
Okay, the first one is a $15,000 transfer. We are buying a compactor for the Hornell Transfer Station for $146,000. And we have about $139,000 in that account. So we want to transfer $15,000 from the Irwin Transfer Station renovation account to take care of that.
Motion.
Any discussion? Motion and second. If none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Carried.
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, then B, we contract with a collection agency to collect unpaid bills. We average about $8.4 million in revenue a year, and we get about $35,000 in bills that people don't pay. So our collection agency withdrew, and we want to do an RFP to get another one.
Second.
Actually, if I can interrupt a little bit, this is a little different than what you've done before, because the collection agencies were just a standard collection agency. And my understanding with speaking with ORCA about this is they have not done real well in any sort of collection of those fees. So this one is an RFP for legal services to see if an attorney's office would be willing to do that for based on some sort of contingency fee of what they actually collect to give a little motivation to collect the fees.
Okay, thank you.
I'll still make the motion.
Second.
No.
Second.
All right. We have a motion and a second, but I have a question, and I know don't want any names who's not paying, but
I do.
Well, not an open session, but is it individuals? Is it companies? What do we got going on here?
Let's see. Well, we had an aggregate of 8 accounts that we wrote off just now and since 2010. They range from $5 to $5 and up. Steve, are you on the line? Market?
Yeah. The accounts that we're talking about, can everybody hear me okay?
Yeah. Yep.
They range, we deal with the small residential type delinquent accounts where they insufficient funds, and then we do have some businesses that are on that list. The majority of those have either gone out of business or done something along that lines, but we do have some businesses that are active that we're trying to collect from.
Do we prevent them from continuing to use the landfill? When they're yes. Fall into the collection group?
Yes. Yep. When they miss their payment, the 30-day payment, the accounts automatically get blocked, and then they can't use them. And then from there, we try to collect the money ourselves until we get to a point where we have to pass it off.
Steve, this is Jeff Horton. Do they actually get shut off from the landfill, or just their account gets shut off? Can they still go to the landfill and pay cash or pay with a credit card?
They could, but we try to notify our scale attendants of who these individuals are. For the businesses, it's easier to manage. The residentials are harder because we don't always know who the residents are.
Yeah.
But we do eventually catch them at some point. And then block them and prevent them from using us until they come in with their neighbor or something. But the residentials are tough. The businesses we can manage very, very well.
But as far as the residences, you said they're NSF. I mean, they only accept credit cards, right?
They do. Credit
cards.
So it's
not like they wrote a check.
No, they write... credit cards or landfill tickets is what they use at the scales. So if they have not enough landfill tickets, then they would have to go get more tickets or whatever, come back and pay. Some of them won't use credit cards to do that. And then there's others who come in and dump, and they have a credit card.
Well, I think the question is, how do we have collections against residents if they don't have credit, if they're paying with their credit card or with a ticket? Is that what you're wondering?
Yeah. I think what he's saying is they go up and they dump 2 ton, then their credit card comes up declined.
Well, they shouldn't be able to get in there.
Oh, that they do already the dump already.
I think that was what he was just
starting to
say. On
the exit side of the scale house.
You go up and you dump, you come out, and you owe me $75. I swipe your card. It's no good.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that's what he was just about ready to say, is that's how a resident, because I don't believe there's accounts that you can just take 2 bags of trash in there and put it on your account.
Yeah.
I think that's what he's saying, is they either already dumped, don't have enough tickets to pay the bill, or their credit card came up declined.
That makes sense. Because I was thinking the only way with a credit card is if they dispute a charge, you know, but my God, that's a painful process.
I kind of think that's what he was starting to say when we lost him.
Is that what's going on, Steve?
Have people wash cars and then dispute the charge.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. It's for the weighed load. So when they come on, they don't know what they weigh. They have a credit card or a landfill ticket. They weigh, they come back out. It's $22 and they only have a $15 ticket. Then we got an insufficient fund. We get their personal information for collections, and we invoice them from the office. And the same with the credit card. As they come up, and it's exactly what you're saying, the credit cards are declined for whatever reason, and then it generates an insufficient fund.
Can we check their credit card before they go dump?
You don't know what the charge is going to be.
Oh, that's
right.
Yeah,
we don't know charges, and we don't know if it's valid or not until you actually run the transaction.
Yeah.
There's also a charge for pre-authorizing cards, so we would bear the brunt of that.
Yeah.
The downfall with it is, I mean, I would love to collect that money, but I don't see a law office sending out letters and generating a letter to these people that might owe $7 or $12. Or.
We agree, but there were some that were sizable, so we were thinking that might be attractive to actually get somebody moving, because there's just no movement from the companies that are doing it.
And we can put out the RFP, and if we don't get any responses, we don't get any response, right?
Right.
I'll make the motion then to put out.
And this committee still can set where, at what threshold you want them to go after them for.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I think it could be helpful to still leave it open to a collection agency as well, or have we burned through all the different collection agencies around?
It would be a different RFP, probably. It would be the legal RFP already kind of has a template. Steve might be able to talk better to that, but they've been using those companies for several years, and we switched a couple of years back and still no luck.
Okay.
So it was a brainstorming idea of trying something to incentivize somebody to.
I'm fine with putting it out for lawyers, and if it doesn't work, we can go back to.
John had his hand up.
I'm just thinking that you need to pull out a scale to begin with. You have a requirement that you have to have a way to be a vehicle.
once they pull down that scale.
Argument at that time.
The honesty side of it.
We do have a lot of the vehicles, especially the businesses, the weight of the scale of the vehicle logged into the computer already. But for every individual, I'd like to do that, but there's people that we just don't know. They show up and just don't have their vehicle.
They have a guest riding with
them. Well, that's what I was just going to say. And I think that what John's saying makes sense. But the only downfall of that is like my personal truck, I have two fuel tanks in it. If I have those two tanks full or empty the day I go, plus if I have someone riding with me, it changes the whole weight 500 pounds easily.
Yep.
I think for any of the commercial haulers, absolutely shutting off access is a pinch point for them. You know, if we do this monthly billing with them and all that, and they haven't paid their bills, we're trying to collect it, and they're still coming in and they want to pay with a credit card or some other form, I would say you have no access to the landfill until your account is caught up.
Right. Steve, do we shut them off when they don't pay the bill, or do we allow them to use a credit card?
No, they get shut off. Their rights are suspended.
Okay, good.
And then like when we set up a customer account, we have like a $500 security deposit. So if somebody does go into default and it's like they show us like $600 or something, we can forfeit that $500 security deposit and close their account. So we can recover some off some of these smaller accounts that we have.
That helps.
All right, we have a motion and second. Anybody have anything else to say? If not, all in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Carried.
Okay, the next one is for the Eastern expansion of the landfill. New York State DEC law requires us to do an analysis to determine how we're going to impact the environment on this Eastern expansion. And this Eastern expansion is for additional landfill cells that will last us anywhere from 30 to 40 years.
Oh, this is the land we purchased here a year or two ago.
Yes, it's almost entirely on that land, although some of this expansion towards the end of it will come around and attach to the south end of our existing land. Now, I just want to give you a brief summary of what the impact statement came up with as far as impacts. Topography, first of all, this landfill, it's going to look basically like what we're doing now. The height of it will match the existing landfill. Surface water, there's a few ditches and swales that we're going to relocate, and they're generally dry in the summer. Air impacts, garbage produces methane, but we collect most of the methane with the pipes and either flare it, or we've got some other proposals coming in to use it. Wetlands, there's about 0.8 acres of very small shallow ponds with vegetation in it. It doesn't come under any restriction, and that they'll probably just be filled in. As far as visual, the key to the expansion is the first cell, new cell, will be on the north end of the landfill. It'll be 1,000 feet away from Turnpike Road. So we'll put in that first cell. Once that's in and up and covered, then everything else is behind it. No one can see, you know, garbage operations. So it'll be seated, covered, and the sheep will be grazing on it. But I'd like to see the sheep grazing on it. I can say that for certain. Odor, we are very careful with the odor. We have one of the best landfills about having minimal odors up there. But there are some days, but we're very careful about that. Noise, be this basically the same truck, same equipment as now. The first cells 5 through 8 will be within 200 feet of the adjacent property. So to adhere to the rules, DEC rules on noise, those first cells 5 through 8, we may use some berms, build some dirt berms that, you know, that are the heights of the top of the equipment and that would cut off any noise that will go into the adjacent field. Then we would use that dirt as we got up for daily cover. It wouldn't be a waste. When we get back to cells 9 and 10, back out 30 years or so, then we may have to do something else besides berms. But we can take care of that. That's pretty much what that long impact statement is that we sent you. Lou Ann Meyer from Barton Le Judas, I think, is on the line. Are you there, Lou Ann?
I am. I'm here if you have any questions.
Okay. Lou Ann and Barton Le Judas is our consulting engineer that put this together, you know, with input from Steve Orkut and Rich Bills. If you have any questions, what we'll be doing is asking you to approve this draft impact statement. And then we'll be going to the legislature to approve it also, the full board.
When did we get this? I don't remember getting it.
When did you?
A couple weeks ago. Yeah, it was very interesting reading. I thought I'd actually found something that I could bring up to it, but it listed Bill Von Hagen as mayor of Bath. And I'm like, oh, no. But then I realized the report was written in 2019. So I thought some of the public comments that were listed in the document as far as written comments, I mean, you know, it just sounds like typical Ithaca, you know, we should go to a no garbage output society. That's just not possible. You know, it's nice in a textbook that might work, but it's just not possible.
Now, when the
Is that full comment from Hilda?
No, it was not.
when we go to the full board with this for approval, and if they approve it, there'll be another 30-day comment period.
Yeah,
and I do want to say that many, if not most, landfills in the state, the neighbors don't like them. The community objects to things. What you heard there, the groups will call me up and say that.
Yeah.
One lady called me up and say, you know, I see you're building a new landfill. I'm sorry to see that. And it's for the reasons you said.
What was interesting is a lot of them said, you guys run an excellent landfill. You know, we have no complaints with how the operation is, but we would like to have no landfills in the future.
Right. They want a zero waste society. Yeah, I'd like a zero waste society, and we can all work on that through these next 30 and 40 years. But we would like to build this landfill.
Make the motion to accept the plan.
Well, the one lady that called me about it did write a book on it. She gave me the book.
You didn't get any complaints from the fellow that we bought the land from.
No,
he wanted. He thought we should buy more land for a buffer.
He's got that in his pocket. He's waiting.
I'll make the motion to.
You second it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to defend yourself, Hilda?
I don't live in Ithaca.
Oh. All right. Any other discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Carry.
Okay, the next one is a staffing agency. We sometimes need temporary help. It's usually three or four people during the year. And we had used manpower, but they no longer will serve landfills. And the only one that we found that will do this is called People Ready. And they will charge the same as manpower, $22.90 an hour. And we'd like authorization to use People Ready.
Motion.
I'll second.
What are they opposed to landfills?
Well, Steve, do you want to, what did they exactly say to you when they said they didn't want to do it anymore?
They had a review by their risk management office, and they made a corporate decision to not service landfills based on the potential risk, I suppose, to their employees. So they're pulling away from landfills and staying more along the lines of clerical and manufacturing.
Okay. It's part of no landfill operation.
policy. Right. We go zero waste, then we won't have to worry about it.
Yeah. That's right. Yep.
Let's leave that alone for a while. Okay.
we have a motion and a second, correct?
Yes.
Yep. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Okay, highways.
Okay. In 2007, we bought a pavement striping truck. Up until then, we used subcontractors. And we bought it for $318,000, pavement striping truck, plus a broom truck. We bought it under shared services where the state paid 90% of it, $286,000, because we said we would use it in partnership with Yates and Schuyler. And now, you know, the previous shared services agreement has run out. Jen and Doug have worked with their highway superintendents, their county attorneys. The basis to it is we each chip in, all three of us chip in what totals $10,000 a year to maintain the truck, repairs and things like that. Our two operators are on the truck, even when it goes over there, Schuyler and Yates. And it goes over there to do their roads maybe 4 to 6 days a year. And we would like authorization to renew this agreement another 5 years.
You've already looked at it, Jen. I'll make the motion.
For a second. Okay, you have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. No, you did. I'm sorry.
Okay, it's a 2007. And you can figure 20 years. About 20 years, then it's really going to get iffy. And that's a big decision we've got to make. Because this next time, you won't get the state chipping in 90%. So the question is, do you go back to subcontracting? But the trouble with the subcontracting is we had a heck of a time getting them here when we wanted them. Like now, when we pave a road, like 32, you said you wanted that striped. We were able to get that right back within a week or so, stripe it. Yeah. With the contractors, it's difficult. And then there are some pavement striping contractors, it's pretty difficult to work with. You're wondering if they're putting the right amount of paint down, right amount of beads down. Do you have to have a constant inspector with them? So this is a decision that's ahead of us in 5 years.
Or they spray over roadkill, the double stripes over roadkill.
I think there's photos of that, but I don't think on our roads.
Karen?
Yeah, has there been any talk with the other counties about establishing a capital account to purchase a new one?
Doug's been working on that. That's something we've been discussing.
I thought maybe the useful life would be for as long as Jerry Miller's working for us.
Well, I'll say Jerry Miller, when he came on board as head of the equipment shop, then I had more of a confidence in buying some of this equipment. People before Jerry, I didn't want to buy big equipment. I would never have bought the grinder. I would never ask you to let me buy the grinder, the paver, the pavement striping truck. That's an important point. Now, there are other good mechanics out there besides Jerry, but I depend on Jerry for stuff like this. It's really important. You want a good head mechanic to take care of equipment like this.
It doesn't have anything to do with this, but the pothole machine, it is, don't you figure it's cheaper for us to rent, or should we be looking to buy one of them?
We've been talking about that, Bob. I said to Jerry, I said, you know, we have concerns about maintaining this because of the oil through it. Jerry's position is oil goes through the grinder. And we've actually come to the position that it probably would benefit us to own that. But we just don't have enough money in the equipment account to even ask for that. There's so many other things we need ahead of it.
Just a thought, that's all. Okay.
John.
This is the notes I made when I was on public works. Plus this $38,000 a year rent this thing, the cost of the new machine is $165,000.
Life is 15 years. Certainly, advantageous for us to buy this thing rather than rent it. Possibly. I think we should think about that.
I agree completely with John. The numbers say buy it, but do I need snow trucks instead of a pothole machine? I need snow trucks, but it's something that we have shifted our position, John, towards that. We believe we can take care of it, and we believe it'd save us money. It's something we're looking at now.
It's just, you know, it kind of lines up with this paint truck deal.
In that pothole machine, like Route 6, we couldn't rebuild it this year because of the funding cutbacks. But I told Doug, just send the pothole machine and let him just spend a lot of time there. He really upgraded that road because that pothole machine pretty much welds the patch to the road. It's a great machine, and we'll look at it if we can do it. If we can do it, we'll come to you and ask you.
Okay. Now, the paint, we got a motion and a second on the paint truck, right? Is that where we're at?
It's already done.
It's already done. All right. You're talking about other things. Transfer?
Did you vote on the paint truck?
Did we vote on it?
You did? Okay. Okay. The next one, at the Greenwood shop, water will tend to flow in sometimes into the shop floor from outside. And we want to regrade the approach to it, the front of it, and naturally away from it and with blacktop. And it's, if we could get $40,000 out of our chip seal account, I think we could take care of that drainage problem. There's money there. I mean, we did beyond the $1.2 million we didn't spend because the state cut back on funding. We cut back on that on the roads. And then another $1.2 million we cut back for the county because of the problems with the budget in the future. That's $2.4 million. But still, there's about another $130,000 out there that we didn't spend. And we just want to get this $40,000 and use it at Greenwood. It would help a lot to solve the drainage problem down there.
Is there a motion for the transfer?
I'll second it.
Motion and second. All right. Now, are we going to do this in-house?
We'll do it. Our survey, Jim Risley, has already worked up the plan, the elevations. We'll go in with our people, put in a gravel base with the gravel that we produce, and then with our paver, we'll go in and pave it.
That's good. We don't have to pay prevailing wage then. That's good for us. All right. Okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, the five-year plan, I think it's on your computer. This will be our third five-year plan. Okay. I want to recognize Zach Conklin. He's our QA/QC person in the field, inspects all the contractors. Andy Barbado, one of our engineers in the office, and Jesse Charles, one of our engineers in the office. This is the first time that this is a new people involved in preparing this plan. And they put the bulk of this together. We've been going back and forth since May, questioning each other on what's there, what isn't there, and came up with this. It is Cornell's road program, and it's based on traffic count, how many cars are on the road. It's based on coming up with a priority number. Which road are you going to choose first? How do you choose that priority? There's a formula that we use, and it's at the bottom of the sheet. It's basically, we count up how many cars per day are on the road, how rough is the road, and the general condition of the road. That combination comes up with a priority number, and that's the general order of this. Now, I will adjust that, though. One thing that doesn't show up in the formula or in the system, when you have a steep hill coming out of a village, and that hill starts to get some ruts in it, or the shape is not quite right, and the plow can't scrape it clean, that doesn't show up in here, but that's critical to us that road be rebuilt with a smooth crown so it's scraped clean. Another thing, the villages like Bradford, Atlanta, Woodhull, we've been paying a lot of attention to cleaning up those villages. I want those roads rebuilt so you don't have puddles and ponds on the shoulder where people park. So I'll adjust the order of the roads. Now, if you look at the first year, 2021, it totals out $3,576,000. And to the right, you'll see a note, 80% of CHIPS is $3,543,000. So for 2021, we are forecasting the state will pay us the CHIPS money, the normal CHIPS money, minus 20%. So that's how I did the cutoff point on what roads will do. And so those roads total $3,576,000. If the state pays us 80% of the CHIPS, we should be all right. If they come through with the paved New York, which is like another $1,000,001, or the other 20% of the CHIPS, now we're getting up there pretty good. Then we can start picking off those roads on the second year. Now, I did something different on the 22 through 25. I did a cutoff point of what I call the life cycle analysis. You need about $5.4 million a year on road construction and paving to keep the roads even. So the second, third, fourth, fifth year, I just put that in there. I said, put enough roads in to get to the minimum amount we need. But then when the time comes, then it's the county manager and your decision on how much you want to put in there. If you put in $246,000 less, then I'll cut off County Route 67. If you put in $92,000 more, then I'll do 0.9 miles of County Route 100 off of 2023. And the only other thing, I attached the poor road chart history. In 98, we had 102 miles of poor roads. We're down to 10 miles. County Route 5, Bob, where we're working now,
County Route 9, the north end, John, and County Route 86, Bob, going into Pennsylvania. We're down to 10 miles. So I've given you this. If you have any questions, let me know. And if you do have time to go through it and you see something that doesn't make sense, that you think something should be switched around, that, look, this road is really, it's dangerous, you should move it up, let me know. You know, I've been going back and forth with the three engineers all year long. So if you see something, let me know and I can look at it, see if we need to switch around.
Vince, I think you reevaluate your roads all the time anyways. You're out on the highway. You know, this is just a plan, and the thing is that this can be switched at any point.
Yeah, and this is an important point. We started this Cornell program in, I think it was in 98. Anyways, what I did, it would spit out the roads in order of priority. And I would just take that and put it on there, and that's what I would do. I would be a slave to the computer. That was not a good idea, because like a good example is Bird's Eye Hollow Road, but that never made the plan because it had so few cars. But it was a lousy road, and I drove it a lot. Joe drove it a lot. The people that went, it was a lousy road. And then after a while, I said, the heck with this. I don't care what the computer is. I'm putting it on there. So what John says is important. I continually look at this. Does something need to be tweaked? The computer program is very good to give us a guide, but you know, it's us that can see that maybe we should do some changes.
It's like County Route 112. That's like Bird's Eye Hollow. It had a low car number, but the road was getting so bad, you were afraid he's going to bury a snowplow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truck on top of the snowplow. So you had to redo it.
Yeah.
And that's where part of your plan will work, because if it has less car count, it'll still have less, so it'll last more years. You know, so Bird's Eye won't have to be in that, you know, for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. 112 did not have a base, or very, you know, just the original base. And this, and what happened off the original single lane road, then you had these low spots, and you'd end up, the plows were having trouble getting the snow out of the road, because off the, you know, you kind of expanded the road, and they just had to rock in the middle. And then what they did down our way years ago, 30, 40 years ago, they'd come through with powdered cement, grind it into the clay, and that didn't last very good.
So in my opinion, the five-year plan is a strategic long-term plan. Yes, you make adjustments every year based on new needs that weren't assumed in the plan, but this gives you the long-term strategy that we're going to continue to maintain our roads. And the proof that it works is that graph. Yeah.
The four roads graph?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have here.
Yeah. And I think in connection with Scott said, what I didn't say was, this goes out to the shop supervisors. And when they see, they're looking at next year,
right?
Because they're putting in the pipes this year for next year's roads. We've had it happen where we had some extra money. And so in the middle of the year, we said, let's do this road. So they go in and change the pipes, and then we pave it 2 months later. Those pipes didn't have a chance to settle over the winter. So we've got a new road paved. There's a little dip every once in a while. This helps prevent that. They're looking ahead a year to get those pipes dug out.
And it also shows that we have a plan. So we're not just reactionary based on phone calls. You need to fix this. You need to fix this. This is our long-term plan on repairing these roads and maintaining a 600 and whatever mile system over the long term.
Yeah. Scott, when he came here, wanted a five-year plan. And Joe said, I want you to get a five-year plan. And I said, you jerk me around every year on my budget and you want me to give you a five-year plan. How am I going to do that? He said, I want a five-year plan.
Right.
So I gave them their five-year plan and it worked.
Yeah.
This help everybody.
We did this at Corning. You do 5-year plans at Corning every year for both capital and strategic operations. It helps you.
It's a great tool. It helps all of us. I'm a poor road.
In the city of Corning, we do the same thing.
Okay. On the poor roads.
What do they do in Ithaca?
Very funny.
Hilda, it has not been me today. I just want to point that out.
On the poor roads graph.
It's like a disease. It's catching.
On the poor roads, how come we went from 6 to 18 there?
There were, well, I think.
Would you
I,
have bad storms that
I
year?
I think what happened, there were two winters in a row where it wasn't just a bad winter. You get a bad storm and a deep freeze and then a thaw. Oh. And it went back and forth. And I think that's what happened. I actually wondered if the person rating the roads was up to no good. And I had Cornell come down and double check us. And he said, no, it's right. I think it was because of it's the freeze thaw that gets you. If it would freeze, deep freeze December 15th and stay that way till March 1st, we'd be fine. But what hurts us is the freeze thaw. And that's what happened then, I think.
That really, when you get into that environment where you freeze thaw right along, that shows what roads have good bases and what don't.
Right. Yeah.
So you need a motion for the plans.
I don't need a motion. I had told you last May, and someone had requested it that I would. Are we doing the 5-year plan? I said I'd come to you. So it's information, and I do want input if you see something wrong. You know, in the next month or so.
Okay.
Okay. Now we have the bids. Andy, are you here?
Yes.
Aaron, at last month's meeting, asked about we monitor these bids that have multiple awards, where we don't pick the low bidder. We award to more than one bidder, and then I tell you we go to the low bidder, use them. If they're not available, go to the second. Aaron asked, are you checking this out? So I asked Andy about this, and he'll explain it.
So the process,
you want to come up, Andy, so people on the mics can hear you? People that aren't here today.
So the process would be that Public Works would generate a requisition at that point when it arrives in my office. I have them attached a copy of the tab sheet from the bid that was done previously. So then the requisition is audited before the purchase order is cut to ensure that the appropriate bidder is who the purchase order, the requisition is made out to.
Wouldn't they need to document that they checked in with the people who are lower first? Do they do that as well in there? Or?
Yes. Yeah, that would be documented in there. But by me checking the tab sheet, I can see that, say it was Hanson, for example, was the low bidder normally if they didn't have the material available, or there was a vendor that was closer that affects the total price, then we would go with the alternate vendor.
Okay. I do want to say that Doug Rapley does an extremely good job on analyzing these bids and what these guys are doing in the field for us as far as getting what we pay them for, making sure that, you know, any like asphalt increments are done right. And Jerry Miller goes beyond the administrative code in getting quotes. I'm not sure what the limits are, different phases, but Jerry will call for quotes on a lot lower price item than is called for. So I have quite a bit of confidence in them.
Well, like gravel or whatever material, you're out building a road and, you know, you're working 410s. You've got to have the supplies coming when you need it, or you're wasting man hours.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to have that flexibility if one vendor's out.
One that comes to mind is when they're doing the bridge pours, because the vendor on multiple occasions didn't have product available that day. So we had to pretty much go to whoever could supply it.
Right. We need that flexibility because to get things done, you have to have it.
We see it all the time, don't we, Andy, where the numbers will be run for us, how many miles it is and what time of the day and what time they need it by. And like we get a spreadsheet from Doug that'll have like the math broken down of why they're going to the second lowest.
Good. Thanks.
Okay.
Thank you, Andy.
Okay, the first one is authorized Hornby Park timber sale. We have, you awarded the cutting of timber at the Hornby Park, and I think the company's ready to move in there. There's another piece up at Hornby Park. It's a small piece that has some trees on it. It's 139 white ash and 37 sugar maple. It's not a lot of money, but it's good trees that could be harvested now. So we'd like to let another bid, and we're pretty certain we'll get a bid because the guy is right there.
All right. Is there a motion to make that bid? I mean, if you got the ash trees, you need to harvest them now.
I'll make the motion to put it out for bid.
Yeah, these are good ash.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
Okay, the marketing of recyclables. I want to take some time with this one because it involves a lot of things that we've been talking about in the past. The first one is the cardboard, and we have three bids. You can see Cascades. When it says high plus 10, that means at the beginning of the month, we get what's called the market price index for this type of material, cardboard. You know, and it varies month to month. It's a new one. So Cascade said they'll pay us the high end of that index plus 10 bucks. And right now it's 660, so they'll pay us 70. And then the next one, Casella said the high minus 5. And then CL Trading said at Bath Landfill, high plus 1276. At Irwin, high plus 1076. So this is a case where we want to award to all bidders. And then Rich Bills will see which one is this will get us the most money. He'll go to that vendor and say, we expect to get it from you. If something happens, you can't, he'll go to the second. And that may very well happen. Swart Out this year couldn't move a lot of this stuff. We could not get rid of it. So I think it's an advantage to awarding to all three bidders there. The second one, newspaper, it's high minus 60 a ton. We want to reject that, Casella. Rich will take it a month at a time and just go out, look for quotes, check with Andy on it. The third one is mixed glass, about 120 tons a year. Didn't get any bidders, and we'll use that. Steve and Rich got approval to use it for daily cover, for in the trenches, pipe trenches, and even down deep in the base of roads. So we can, no bids on that. This next one, I want to take some time. January 1st, we're going to start our plastic recycling so that they put number ones in one bucket, number twos in another bucket. And this will show you why we did that. The first item where it's number one and number two plastic commingled, 250 tons at about 40 bucks is $8,600. If you go down to the next two, where we asked for bids
number one and number two separate. Look at number two separate, 160 tons. Then you go over there to the dollar per ton, $460 a ton. That's about $74,000. So you can see the increase in the revenue. So we would like to award all, you know, number one and two commingled to CL, and then number one and number two separate to Casella. Now, I do want to just say one thing. So we're asking them to separate into two buckets. The number one is only 55 tons and only bring us $1,400. You know, a business decision could say, why even bother? Make it easier, just do number two. But I'm not ready to, you know, recommend that. We'll stay with the one and two separate. And then the third, 10, 85 tons, Weitzman, 95% of the index. And then the last one, scrap metal. Weitzman gave us the percentages of the indexes. That looks good. John Malter asked last month, how much do we get for a refrigerator? And then we pay for the Freon removal. A refrigerator is about 250 pounds. So at Wayland, for that scrap metal, for that refrigerator, it's about $10 a refrigerator. And then we'll pay $11.50 to remove the Freon. Air conditioner, it's only 70 pounds. So we'll get $3, still have to pay $11.50 to remove the Freon. So I guess in summary, the cardboard, award all three, reject the newspaper, award the one and two plastic to CL Trading, award the ones and two separate to Casella, award the 10 to Weitzman, and award the scrap metal to Weitzman.
How about the other plastics? There's just no value in them at all?
Yeah, one and two are the only one that there's any value and any realistic chance of recycling it. People wanted us to recycle three through seven. A lot of people did, and they were praised as heroes to the environmental movement. We didn't do it because I knew they wouldn't be recycled. And what happened was they ended up in the ocean. We did the right thing. Three and up, there's no real meaning.
You just put them in the landfill, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll second it for discussion, but I had a question on the tin and the scrap metal. Those are benchmarked, right? Because I've heard that the price is going up quite a bit. Is it? It says 95%, 94%, 76%, but there's a number there as well. So for next year, we're going to be paying a benchmark or a percentage of the benchmark, correct?
They'll pay us a percentage of the benchmark.
Right.
Like on the scrap metal, at the beginning of the month, Rich will look up the benchmark, what the benchmark price is for scrap metal. And then whatever it is, I don't know how much, just say it's $100 a ton. Then for the entire month, Weitzman has to pay us for Bath 94%, Irwin 94%, and so on.
Okay, thanks.
Varies month to month. But that price that's at the beginning of the month applies for the entire month.
That's why the percentage differential between Bath, Irwin, and Wayland and Hornell, get $21 differential.
Steve, I think it's because it's a longer haul for Weitzman, but do you know why? John Malter wanted to know why they're only paying us 76% at Hornell and Wayland, but 94% at Bath and Irwin.
I believe it's just probably just a volume-based thing. Hornell and Irwin and Bath get a lot of materials coming through, so their trucks are in and out of there all the time, and the other two sites are a little more low volume. Hornell's got the scrap yard right next to them, so they're not going to pay us more for scrap when they're right next to us.
It shouldn't be transportation costs at Hornell.
Right, but he's going to want the money to come to him. He just wants us to handle the refrigerators.
Okay. All right, we have a motion yet?
Yeah.
Yep.
A second. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, the next one. Did you get that vote? Okay, the next one is the leachate, the holding tanks and lines to clean them out. We have the bid from 2018. We want to extend another year to Jamco, 49. You can, it's unit prices, but it totals for those quantities about $49,000. The second bidder was way high. Jamco's done a good job. This is a good price. I'd like to extend
motion.
It.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It's carried.
The cutting edges for our equipment, that when we sent that bid out, there were some things that were not right in the bid. So we just reject that. We're going to rebid that.
Motion to reject.
Second.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Okay, the last one, and this is a gas boy system off the OGS bid. So according to the administrative code, I don't need your approval, but it's a big one. So I want to let you know what we're doing, get you on board with this. We have the fuel tanks and the pedestals where you put in a fob that's associated with a vehicle. It records everything. And so we keep track of what fuel is going into what piece of equipment, what individual is getting fuel, and which outside agencies are using our fuel so we can charge them. Now, it's getting so that it's hard to get parts for this and repairs. And there's a segment of it that I want updated. Now, when we asked, you know, periodically I ask you to approve audits of parts of our department, like parks, landfill. In the landfill, in talking with them, we agreed we need to make it more user-friendly to see what our individual workers are using. And this will do it. Now, Andy Barbado from our department, Cody Ryan from IT, worked on this. I put a lot of work into it. Now, there's two choices off this OGS bid. If we do the choice where the information is stored on our computers in-house, it's $196,000 to set it up. Plus, there's a substantial amount of a charge for installing maintenance of that software over 10 years. The other option is, so instead of paying the $196,000 and it's on our computers, we maintain it and all that. The other option is what they call the cloud-based, which is nothing more than it's the computer someplace else. I don't know, Google or somebody with a warehouse of computers in Las Vegas. I don't know. That's called the cloud. It's on their computers. They take care of the software. They maintain it. They keep updating it over the 10 years. That's $252,000. We've got $278,000 in the account. And Rob Wolverton, are you there? I talked with Rob, the head of IT. He agrees. He's in favor of going to the cloud for $252,000 over 10 years. That option.
Are you there, Rob?
Yes, I am.
All right. Oh, okay. Rob, would you chip in here on the cloud versus the
having the information on our computers. I'm recommending, well, we want to do the 252 over 10 years, cloud-based. If you could just give your comments on that.
Sure. I'm actually going to defer this to Cody Ryan. He's the one that helped you out with the quotes and the bid. I'll let him talk to this.
Okay. Thanks.
Sure. Good morning, everyone. So I'll give you a little overview between cloud-based solutions and on-prem. So as Vince mentioned before, on-premise is definitely going to mean housed in our server room here at the county office building. So cloud solutions, basically what that means is the county is not going to have to provide any hardware, software for the servers or the configuration. So historically, new implementations for proprietary software, best practice is definitely to have the vendor install this. Basically, it leads to no finger pointing later on. The vendor is going to provide and maintain the entire backend infrastructure. So that, like I said, that's the server that Vince indicated that's going to be remote. It's I do know GasBoy's headquarters here on the East Coast. I think it's Greensboro, but their data center is definitely here in the U.S. The reason why that's a big deal is for them to be able to provide the infrastructure for the back end. It does a couple of things. Disaster recovery and business continuity is huge. So example, if the county office building, say we lost our firewall or the SAN went down, this wouldn't be affected. This is just going to be accessed. It could be accessed from home. It doesn't need to be through a VPN. Individuals will be able to always have the business continuity there. Same thing goes, you know, something happened with the bath and it didn't fail over to our redundant site over at the jail. This would still be functional. The big thing is software updates are managed and deployed by the vendor. So essentially, GasBoy themselves and their server, with the server that'd be set up here, they have a team that's dedicated 24 hours a day to not only are they providing the updates and the firmware, but they're testing and implementing the functionality as well. So county IT would not be able to do that, would not have to do that. The other thing too is system performance monitoring. Basically it's a 24 hour dedicated team to ensure full operability. And so all this basically hints towards disaster recovery as well as we're talking about expense here. So the upfront cost is a little more expensive, but it includes all the support in, as well as the implementation. The on-prem one was very, very expensive in terms of to get the same level of support if we housed it or if we hosted it. I think they indicated it'd be $300 per site per month. So there's 10 sites that this would go in. That's $3,000 a month times 12, $36,000. If we're looking at a 10-year, here, that's $360,000. So I mean, I think it's a no-brainer to go with the cloud solution here.
Is there any additional yearly fee, or the 252 is for the whole 10-year?
Because I agree with what he just said. If it's $3,000 a month for the 10 sites, it doesn't take long to make the $60,000 difference.
The cloud-based $6,600 a year, guaranteed for 10 years. And the one where it's on our computers, there isn't any annual fee, but there will be additional fees for installing and maintenance. I don't know if I said it, Bob, but Cody and Andy Barbado, this cloud-based that we're saying totals up around $252,000, Andy and Cody knocked them down about $70,000 to get to that. They did a lot of work on them. And I think, you know, I'd like to go with the cloud-based. If you have any other questions or objections, I'd like to know them.
Is it the same system, GasBoy? Is it the same system?
Yep, it's the same system. We use GasBoy now. This is the new, this is just an updated version. It'll be a lot more user friendly to see who's using what.
Okay. Now this is not a, we don't have to vote on this. This is
no,
this
is, it's because I think it.
Could I just make one clarification? I think we probably should vote on it because it's actually a source well contract.
West Valley Law.
You agree, Jen?
Yeah, I didn't realize it was that. So I agree with Andy that make a motion on it. And
okay. Well, we have to explain why it's best value. To, is that
pardon, pardon me?
It's a national cooperative negotiated contract. It's authorized by the state. We either pass our best value law in order to utilize it.
Are you talking about piggybacking law or?
No. We did the best value, which is it's an alternate way of just going by the lowest number. So when we have these co-ops that are all over the country, I think Sourcewell we've had before another, they're a co-op who the state will put them under OGS, but it's not technically OGS because they did it through the best law, state law that we now passed. So it's not as clean as an OGS. It's kind of, I'm not explaining it well because it's very complicated. Trying to remember what the other source law one. Basically, the OGS, when it's on the OGS contract, we don't have to do anything because our code says that we don't have to do anything. It's a state contract. The state negotiated it. We can just piggyback off of the states. Mm-hmm. This is not that. This is they went out to the co-op and they've certified them as best values by OGS, but it's not a negotiated price. So we can only do it in counties where you've passed the best value for those co-ops, which we have done. So it's kind of one more step in the procurement process. So because of that, I think you're probably safest to go ahead and make a motion. It's Andy, you might be able to do better on the explanation because it's
Andy, you want to come back up so people that's on the video can hear you?
Because it's negotiated nationwide, it's made available to multiple states. The pricing's, in every case I've looked at, has been better than in than state contract in a lot of cases. If we were to do a bid ourselves, we wouldn't have the luxury of the volume type negotiated pricing. It would be just for Steuben County. I was involved in talking with these different companies the last couple of years over to Station 2 with Jerry and looked at what they had available.
Okay. So what's the pleasure of the committee?
I personally think if we hold it on the cloud, it's, you know, like they said, it's the $60,000 more, but there's no hidden fees, you know, it covers the 24 hour. And what Rob and Cody are saying is that nobody in their department has to learn this whole new system. So even though it's $60,000 more, how much are we going to spend in service calls and things like that over 10 year period? You know, especially in the IT department, if somebody learns it and then we lose that employee for some reason, now we have another employee that's got to figure out how to do it versus, you know, that is their sole job on the other end of that 24 hour phone is this program. That's my opinion.
John?
We're now using gas boy.
We are. Yeah.
We're going to be using gas boy. Is that an update? Are we going to have an update on that system? The only thing that this outside firm is going to do is actually manage the software. Is that what you're telling me?
We're going to have new software now, upgraded software.
It's still gas.
But it'll still be gas boy.
Which we are now using IT in order to manage this thing.
We are.
So what is
I can ask.
That included in the $252,000?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I could comment on that. So the current gas boy system that we utilize is so old, it's currently housed off from a machine that runs Windows XP. So this is not just a software upgrade, but it's going to be a full server hardware software implementation. So this will be an actual dedicated server, not just a computer that runs Windows XP that's no longer supported. It is much larger than just the software implementation. I don't know if that helps.
We'll have a whole new pedestals put in all that hardware as well as the software.
Yeah, well, it'll be hardware on the back end for the infrastructure for IT as well. Whether it's here at the county office building or we're hosting in the cloud, we still need the implementation of the new server.
what are you thinking? We have a motion.
I'm motion.
Okay, you second it. All right. Or Aaron did. All right. Okay. No other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried.
So the motion was to use the cloud base.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks. That's all I had, Bob.
One question.
Hey, Tom.
Just an observation and maybe a comment from Vince. County Route 128, the road closure between Carson and Depot Street in Canastillo there.
Yeah.
I go through there once or twice a day. And on the west end, I don't know about the east end, but the west end, one of your 10-wheelers with an operator was used to block the road. There was plenty of signage there, and there was some wood barricades there. My question is, I think people would perceive the fact that that truck sat there for 3 days idling with an operator in it might be perceived as a not the best use of resources.
That would be a good perception. I'll check into it, see what happened.
And I don't know if there was one on, like I say, the east end, but I assume maybe there was.
I'll find out, Tom. I wouldn't want that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Anybody have anything else? If not, is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion.
So moved.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned.
Good. You're going to have to buy lunch, Tom.
Do you see that picture?
Getting close.